Blog Talk Radio.
He trained his mind among the Black Bear School of Chess.
LRP, don't y'all? What's up? This is EP. K-Sun, this is Eric. K-Sun, Citizen Payne, Eric Payne, one of them names. Welcome to K-Sun and Friends. It's the next day. That's Public Enemy, Rebel With a Pause, you know. That's the classic CD album, if it was an album back then. I don't know if it was an album back then. It might have been. Might have gotten that, get rid of that technology already, but it is the 4th of November, 2020. It's the day after. We're still counting the votes. Like I said, this is K-Sun and Friends. My boys, Byron Saunders, legendary historian, Wayne Gilman, a legendary newsman. This is kind of the last minute because I kind of texted brother, so you want to get down. So I know we talked about it earlier. Me and Wayne and Byron should be calling in a minute. But, you know, there's some history going down, especially nowadays. With this guy in the White House for the past couple of years and now trying to do the things that he's trying to do. You're witnessing history, right? Live, direct, and in front of you. Witnessing history. The fact or the machinations that they're trying to make with suing to get the vote, stop the vote. People for voting, whatever. Sue to win. But fortunately, you know, most reasonable people see the whole game plan from day one. And, you know, it's like somebody cries wolf. You know, you cry wolf enough and you lie enough, basically. And, yeah, real kind of crazy, but... what you're seeing is, and through the outcome of this election, a lot of different shades, you know, this you kind of got to be strategic in the presentation to get the votes is what I'm thinking. How Joe, they're talking about he didn't get the inroads with certain groups here and there and that they thought they were going to make. And, well, we're going to talk about this, you know, continue this aspect of the conversation with the fellas. I'm going to bring you in, Byron. But it's just a notion of, you know, thinking that ethnic groups are one monolithic group, put everybody in a particular ethnic group or of ethnicity into one monolithic group and think they're all going to vote the same way. And obviously with, you know, the Hispanic vote, Democrats found out that wasn't the case. And I think... as an African-American and maybe Black Democrats probably noticed a long time ago that that wasn't necessarily the case, that kind of nuanced part of the party needed to be addressed, you know. I think, like I was saying, oh, let me bring in Byron. I'm let him get in here and see, you know, and I know he has some stuff to say. Brother Byron Saunders, I'm a little bit babbling a little bit, a lot of stuff on my mind. What's up, brother? We're in the middle of the history here, watching... the moves trying to be made.
Okay. I'm a quote a great sports New York Yankee, Yogi Berra. It ain't over till the fat lady sings.
That's right.
Now, notice that all of a sudden, the current orange man is claiming foul when he was playing the Russian foul book all along. okay? Let's be very clear about the shenanigans that they've been engaged in for quite some time. Now, notice how the swing states, which he won by 1% the last time, ain't good enough for him this time. And it's quite interesting that what I find more disturbing than just where we are, because I think this is the way it was going to be played out. It's going to play itself out. If our democracy is going to sustain itself, one of the things that we've discovered, that two things. Number one, the count of the votes, Joe Biden broke Obama's record. So the popular vote, make no mistake about it, Joe Biden has captured the popular vote, and he beat Obama's 2008 record. Number two.
So he's got like 70 million or something like that, 70-plus million?
Yeah, it's like, right. So let's not diminish what has been accomplished. Second thing is, what we have discovered, and by way, and I'm telling you, there can be no other way this broke down except by divine universal order. We have discovered and outed the racist in this country. And there are many. Because if you voted for this racist and this murderer, you are complicit and in total lockstep with his racist policies. We've called him out. And he's murdering over 250,000 people. So what does that say about you? The character of America. You can't hide in a sheet anymore. We know who you are. We know who you are. So you thought your votes were going to get hidden by some electoral votes. But no, make it be known. Every GOP, every black person that voted for Trump, you're either the handkerchief head Negro who's sitting on the lap of the master, or you are sitting on the plantation playing Miss Jane and Red Butler. Don't get it confused or get it twisted. Y'all wanted this Civil War thing to go down? Well, guess what? It's in play. And putting up a wall around the White House, the three walls that you got, will not stop them from taking you out, Mr. Orange Man. Don't get it confused. This is not a kingdom. This is a democracy. And we are speaking democratically. And the rule of law is the Constitution, not coming from the Oval Office. It's the Constitution. So I'm feeling very comfortable. What I want to know is, when do we send him the eviction notice and pour the Riddick down the toilet? Okay?
Yeah.
We can drain the cesspool.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, the one of the most interesting things about this whole situation is that it really revealed, like you said, where people stand and also what that prioritized, you know. I was thinking in more of a simple term, like who's the racist and who's not. But it's like deeper than that, because there's a lot of priorities that they don't have that we have, obviously. The racism is just one of the is just a part of that bundle of priorities that, you know, is not in there, or perpetuating the racism, I should say, is a priority of theirs that's in that bundle of priorities, right? So, you know, some come at it from that perspective, the racism. Some come at it, and I'm talking about in terms of support now, or enabling this guy and the Republicans. Some come at it from a financial perspective, right? And I would suppose that would be the only benefit to being down with this guy, right? If you have money in the stock market, so if you're the billionaire class, because making any type of investment or return on the stock market, you need shares. You need multiple pieces. You know, it ain't like you can have one share and that's going to, you know, give you the type of money to live off of or do all these things or be that as supportive as these people are of the guys. So, you know, we talked about this before, the rank and file people, they're not really benefiting from his presidency in terms of a policy you can see, you know. I mean, if that was the case, he would have, you know, had his boys push through the stimulus so people aren't jammed up. between now and the new year.
Here's something really truly to consider. All right, if he wins, if Trump wins, the playbook for the Democrats is to go all in the House and start slamming him with the rest of the book of impeachments that they didn't put on him, because he now is guilty of murder, and he will go to trial for this. So it's not like this, when like Yogi Berra says, it ain't over till the fat lady sings. And in this situation, who's waiting for him for the loss or victory? New York State. So he's not escaping. You see, this is the part of the part of our democracy, that rule of law and order. Yes, I am a law and order person. I'm all for it. But take it from the top down, not from the bottom up. And this man has broken several federal laws, not just one, several of them. And if the Democrats want to play hardball now that they got the ball in their court, I say go all in, because I want a perp walk. I don't want to be a part of this country until I see these people, men and women, mostly white and a few black men, they go down and are walked into a jail cell somewhere awaiting criminal charges brought before them by the people of the United States of America. This is hardball game. I'm not in for I don't want a pardon. I don't want to see him even be extradited somewhere. He can go to Russia, take his family with him, go to China, rebuke and revoke their visa and their passport the minute they land. But I don't want him on this side of the ocean ever again, unless they're in jail somewhere.
Yeah, this guy, I'm just thinking about kind of partially what was still in my head, the racism aspect of a lot of these people that have really come out. You know, like in Detroit, they were saying people went down to one of the counting centers, it was banging on the doors, tried to rush the joint. You know, it's really, evidence of who paid attention in high school. I was thinking earlier today, you know, all like the dumbass students that, or, you know, people that weren't paying attention that only read half the chapter, didn't do all the homework, didn't pay attention all the time in class. Because if you did, you would understand the rules. You know, there's rules to certain things, right? And so you would understand that they said early on, you know, we're going to need to be counting Pennsylvania to like for the next 2 or 3 days. So everybody, you know, pay attention, you know, want to let people know, you know, don't get your hopes up election night. And traditionally, that's how campaigns have been for the most part. They call people based on the exit polls traditionally, I guess, or based on some of the district early numbers they get through district. But the average people don't understand that. Right. And they're just getting their information of the knowledge of how government works through a person that's a liar for the most part. You know, we talked about this before. The average person walking on the street doesn't really understand the American government or how it works. So all they can do is get riled up. They're vulnerable for knowledgeable people to get them riled up in a cause, which has always been the case throughout history, I guess, in America, get the masses riled up, but use their ignorance against them and against your enemies to achieve the means that you're trying to do. And that's what this guy has been trying to do, get people riled up who really, you know, don't know the whole story, don't know all of the information, or are ignorant to the fact until they learn about a little bit of the information. And they go on that, you know, and that's the whole thing, that we need to have a populace of people, not saying it would change some people's minds. Some people are just hardcore racist or whatever their belief is, that where even the facts and information is not going to change them. That's the crazy person. But, you know, usually the people who paid attention in school coming up a little bit know that, you know, no, this is not an anomaly. This is how government works. It's just you weren't paying attention that day in civics class when they explained it, motherfucker, you know? I mean, come on, it's like, and I guess I'm an exception because I've been growing up around this all my life, so I know how it works, so I kind of got to grade people on a curve, you know, because that's where I'm coming from. But it seems to me that at least the information should be sought out. as part of your freedom in a society.
And you here's something extraordinary, because being a historian, and I scan newspapers, Eric. So when I ran the Queens Historical Society, preserving the history of the borough of Queens, New York City, is 2.5 million people. I scanned at least 6 to 7 newspapers daily. Now, why is that important? Because as a historian, I remember this story when it first came out, and it was back in 2018. And I'm going to tell you this, and then I'm going to see, let the light bulb just turn on about the southern states. How bad can the predictions be that they were that far off in South Carolina for and Mitch McConnell in Kentucky? And here's why I'm going to, and I'll throw this point of reference to you. Do you know that Ivanka Trump was given a trademark for voting machines that were sold throughout the South? Your light bulb just blew 100 watts. Okay.
For voting machines that were sold throughout the South. You said for voting machines?
Yes.
Oh, I thought, yeah. I thought you said for voting.
2018. Voting machines that have been supplied the South, Ivanka Trump got a trademark on those machines.
I'm not surprised.
Okay, now, you want conspiracy theory. Who owns the playbook that switched some of those? I mean, I've seen an episode on one of them shows on TV where, yeah, a voting machine was basically used to clip votes. Hello.
Yep.
Okay. So it's kind of I'm amazed at the difference in the South Carolina polls that showed Harrison above what's his face in South Carolina, and ultimately Lindsey Graham, and then ultimately lose by that many votes. I don't buy it. I'm not buying it. Especially when we're dealing with someone who is already a charlatan.
Right.
And they got the playbook from Russia, and they've been using the playbook from Russia. They have been disinforming the public. My wife told me, she even read and heard where in one of his campaign stops, Trump indicated that if Biden won, he'd be assassinated in 3 years. Or he'd be assassinated in 3 months. In 3 months. Now, if you and I had made that kind of comment publicly, where would we be right now?
Yeah, I saw that clip. I didn't know if that's what he was saying, like when he was saying Kamala would be the 3 months or something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly. So, so at the point at which I want Biden to win, you know that. We have been pushing it on our platform, and I want him to win fair and square. But I also want to say forewarn to the Democratic Party, don't play softball with your power. Clean your House and the Senate. Start from the top down. Send out indictments for treason.
Yep.
Because they're ready. You've got people's names on them. I mean, really play hardball. You're going to have to clean up this. And the biggest pandemic that we've got, as we have exposed it, is that the racism is embedded in this country so badly that you would rather vote for a racist and a murderer than to vote for someone who's trying to save your life.
Yeah. Also, too, and would rather not vote for the guy that's trying to get you killed, not giving you all information. You know, they say the people let the people decide, but he wasn't giving the people all the information they needed to have. He said it from the early on. He wasn't telling people that. He didn't want people to panic.
Yeah.
So clearly, he's not giving you the information you need to make the decisions that you say you want to make, and you claim he's giving you. You know, that's the hypocrisy of their whole shit. It's like the dude's not giving you the information. You know, I heard that as a talking point when they showed an interview clip with a couple, you know, elderly white couple that are Trump supporters. That was one of the things. Well, he, you know, asked the guy about the virus. He said, well, you know, he allows us to make our decisions, make sure we have the information. No, he doesn't. He doesn't make sure you guys have the information. That's the whole travesty of it. That's the hypocrisy of it. But because of the racism that you are taking part of, that you're a part of, you won't even, they'll refuse to see the truth, you know, just like how they respond to facts, how they respond to the news, you know. It doesn't,
and,
you know.
Exactly. And the facts are these. This is what gets it so badly, Eric. The facts are these. We'll be up by the end of next week, we'll have close to 250,000 people dead. This is not just a joke. We've got 9,583,306 people infected as of this date. That tells me by the end of next week, we'll be crossing 10 million people. So, I mean, what Kool-Aid are y'all drinking out there?
Yep.
That's,
you know,
insanity. That defies any logic, guys. But this is where we are. And that's why I say, if we're going to do the house cleansing, it's don't play spitball with these people. I want the anvil to drop.
Yeah. I mean, now that we see, it should be clear how they're playing the game. They ain't playing it like, you know, the whole romanticized historic version that's, you know, that you guys are living under, the whole fantasy you guys are living under. These motherfuckers are ruthless, and they're playing to win. They're playing the headhunt, you know. These motherfuckers are fighting for their system, you know, their way of life. You know, that, I mean, that's some serious shit. When they talk about it in the polls, as to the ethnic groups, black people, Hispanic people, how do you feel? Asian people, how do you feel about your children's future? Optimistic. The majority of white people in the same pools, they didn't feel optimistic about their children's future, you know, and they kind of directly tied a lot of those polls to the fact of the dwindling of the, you know, or the more the diversity growing in the country, and white people not being the majority anymore. That's one of the things they tied to that, you know, and they asked a series of questions in this particular survey.
Fixing the federal government is going to be a challenge for anybody who goes in. And now, if it's indeed what we are angling toward, then yes, Biden and Harris have a big job ahead of them. But I think there's a bigger job and a bigger threat to our national security, even more than the COVID. As much as racism is a threat, the bigger threat is the gun issue. Because that's the preferred weapon of the bully. And these bullies, these crackhead bullies, think that they can conduct our business and governing through fear and intimidation. And they're going to have to repeal some of these Second Amendment rights expressly for those who have stockpiled. I'm not saying take away your weapons, but stockpiling, Eric, only a munitions at plant, a munitions place stored by the National Guard is the only place where armament can be stored. I met somebody back in 2005 when I was doing work in post-Katrina work in New Orleans. And the guy told me as he was coming through the door, because he was talking about, where's my weapon? I was a security guard without a weapon. You know, I was a rent-a-cop. But I told him they didn't issue me one. But I said, well, where's yours? He said, well, I got about 200 of them at home. Oh? Who you got 200 weapons? Eric?
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. Okay.
Yes, interesting to me that people collect. Why they want to collect all? And let me see, we got Wayne on the line here. Get him in here to talk about some stuff here. But that's interesting. How do people stockpile the weapons and also the training for the militias? Like, what are you training for? What's up, Wayne? Joining us.
Hey, man, how you doing? I guess we got our signals crossed. I thought for some reason we're going to wait until you know. But I understand it. I mean, everybody's been chomping at the bit all day about this contest. You know, I don't mean to register my angst and what I said off mic about the Democratic Party, but I just feel that it should be documented that to a certain extent they messed this up, you know? I feel, you know. I just think that there are certain areas that they should have concentrated on, and hopefully, you know, if things work out the way we want them to be by the end of this evening or whatever, Biden reaches 270, if he hasn't already, I'd like to think there's going to be some sort of realignment within the party ranks. And the thing that really gets to me is that we have a Latino brother who is heading the DNC and yet did not make the extra effort to try to focus on areas of where I think the party is taking that vote for granted when it comes to people of color. And I'm not talking just about the Cuban vote in Florida. I'm talking about Haitians, Puerto Ricans, Venezuelans. You know, it's just one of those things. It's bad enough that the American electorate is ignorant. And, you know, to a certain extent that they feel that it's okay to live through a pandemic and reelect the guy that has been lying to them all this time. You know, that's what bothers me. But hopefully this has been a nail biter from since last night. And I woke up this morning to a plethora of phone calls, and everybody had the same opinion. What went wrong, you know? But I guess the strategists, are you guys still there? Can you hear me? I'm driving.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, I just, the strategists knew that they had a better way of coming to this without having to depend on Florida and Texas. And, you know, I give them credit for that.
Yeah,
well,
we were saying a lot. Go ahead, Byron.
But also, Wayne, don't forget, the strategy was to win popular vote. They surpassed Obama's win popular vote record. So they achieved that. So now when we're talking electoral states, and we had this conversation last week about the Electoral College and its origins of trying to compensate the South by creating a three-fifths human being. And that's how the Electoral College was formulated right from the giddy-up. And it, of course, is maintained and still in use, but it's still based in its origins of trying to protect the slave-owning aristocracy of the South. Because they refused to transfer to an industrialized concept at the beginning of the industrial revolution. So we get that. But to try to stay in that framework, because I live in a city that has more people than New Mexico. I don't have a voting senator. I don't have a voting congressperson.
You're not even a voting representative.
Okay, so I know what it is to live on the plantation.
Yeah.
I'm a sharecropper in Washington, D.C.
I hear what you, I feel what you're saying, and there is a nexus, between what you're going through in the district and Puerto Ricans who seek statehood and don't have the privileges, even though they're considered Americans. And the one thing, that's what I'm saying, the whole system,
you're
right about the historical aspect of what the Electoral College was all about, but it was also to prevent populist LIST candidates like Trump from being part of the system. You know, so the whole thing, I mean, if anything this election has done, it's exposed with all of the greatness of what America stands for, if it's truly a democratic republic, it still has these frailties. That, you know, here it is, the South, the bulk of the black vote is in the southern hemisphere of this country. Democrats need to be focusing down there, you know, not just one or two states, all the states where we are. If you're about supporting our beliefs and our values, if you recognize us as being, you know, a part of this dream about this melting pot. I'm not saying that we're more privileged than anyone else, but look what happened. There was no money for Mike Espy. I didn't even see his results today. And there were a number of Jamie Harrison, you know, I mean, to me, yeah, you got it just shows how much racism, and I tell you, Eric, you talk about this every week, and sometimes I feel that you unmercifully beat up on these white folks, but I get it, you know, I get it, you know, it's like, how does Lindsey Graham get a 10-point lead with all the money spent on the Harrison race? How does, you know, Moscow Mitch get back in? And again, I try to see things from a perspective that I am I'm objective. But the racism is so streaking, I want to say things, blatant, that you can't help it, you know?
Yeah, it's embedded, you know. So it's a structural, systematic, because it's embedded within the system. Plus, also, what's structural and part of the infrastructure is those guys that have been in office, those incumbents, especially a power broker like McConnell or Lindsey Graham, they have infrastructural influence, right? A lot of people that were within the infrastructure of the government and things like various areas of interaction in society, and people who are in the infrastructure of the government, business, or whatever. You know, he's got that type of influence with people. So it draws support, you know. I mean, it's directly tied, obviously, how long a representative has been in office. They gain power and seniority and influence. So, you know, it's the proximity to power that a lot of these people buy into, too, on top of everything else. I mean, but Trump makes it clear where people stand in terms of just what they're down, what they're willing to live with or condone, like straight racism, right? It's like interesting people making that statement. Well, I can live, you know, it's almost like, you know, being on the side of the guy that killed George Floyd. It's like people act like that's law and order, you know, and that's just like the normal part of achieving law and order. It's like, no, it's not, motherfucker. That's biased fucking enforcement of the law. You know, and for them to act as if it's nothing, it's the price of doing business. It's collateral damage. That's the indifference. Is what we can't, you know, allow. You know, obviously, and obviously
but
the
that's
intent
what we
was
seem
to
fall into.
Yeah,
collateral damage.
Yeah, I mean,
collateral damage all the freaking time. You know.
I mean, and that's the price of racism too, right? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the people who want to say, well, aren't actively engaging in the machinations or the active racism or systematic racism, but are condoning it and living within that system, you know, you're a passive racist because you're not speaking up against it, especially when you know. I don't see how any reasonable person could not see that there's a two standards of living for black and white people. You know, it should be clear to any reasonable person, but obviously the person who is not clear to, the white person or someone else, might think that that's what black people deserve, or that's how we're supposed to be treated, you know, like automatic substandardness in the hierarchy of humanity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
when we're really the original, you know.
Right.
We talked about that too, me and Byron. You know, I mean, obviously we all touched on the historical aspect, you know, being aware of people like Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark, but and everybody else, black historians. But I guess not a lot of us know that history and have that knowledge, you know. And
that's part of the problem. Yeah, because if we don't have the knowledge, guys, of our history, because, I mean, that just the two things that I pointed out to you tonight, I mean, a story that was like 2 years ago about Ivanka Trump getting a trademark for voting machines.
Right.
Now,
yeah,
it may be innocuous at that moment, but then now stop. Let's think about it. If you're going to engage in the voter suppression, you get machines that you can flip electronically or digitally from an off-site
sure.
location.
Sure.
It's not that difficult. I mean, we've done this
yeah.
with other regimes from the CIA, okay? It's like, come on.
I mean, as soon as they went digital with the voting, you know, as soon as they went away from paper ballots and paper voting system, I knew that it was only a matter of time before systems get hacked. I mean, anybody had used a computer before that was aware of the technology. I don't know, you know, that's another thing, you know. If more of the population was aware of these things, and just like in certain urban areas where people don't have access to certain means of communication or devices, or maybe internet in some cases. I guess urban areas are different than rural areas where they might not have any internet signal where they could access different types of information to broaden their perspective, you know?
Right.
And you can almost understand their ignorance a little bit if they're open and willing to receive the information once they hear it, you know?
But and then you had the voter suppression thing with the Postmaster General, you know. Lord only knows what kind of impact that's had, because in his business jacket, he has been exposed for having. You don't hear crap out of his mouth these days. But can you imagine you working for a company and you're telling your board of directors or your stockholders, well, I expect you to vote this way and raise funds this way to support, you know, it's almost like what they used to do with black folks years ago. You know, you go work for somebody and that person comes around and says, well, I really enjoy your work, but I expect you to do this for me. And if you don't, well, I'm going to take my business somewhere else. And then, you know, the poor black person involved in this. And I've heard this, it's not just something that was typical of the South from what I've read, but it even happened in places like right here where, you know, West Indian Charlie used to get processed that way, where he thought he would have the support of somebody he had been slaving for, but for some reason, when that slave master wanted something done, he would threaten his livelihood by saying, well, if you don't do this for me, well, I'm going to take this your business somewhere else, and that's it. But
right.
I know you're going to do the right thing because that's what I want you to do. And then
right.
poor Charlie's sitting up there saying to myself, well, you know, if I don't do this for the master, I ain't going to eat this week. My family's not going to eat this week, and I may have to go back to Trinidad or Jamaica or Barbados, say, one of these places.
Yeah.
I mean, this sounds, you know, sophomorical at this point, but honest to God, these things happened no more than 50, 60, 70 years ago. I hear stories in my family, you know?
Right. You know, on another note, we were talking about earlier today about the nuances within, you know, talking about the vote in Florida, one of the states that the president took. But we were talking about earlier today the nuances within the Hispanic culture. The Hispanic diaspora, and a lot of people, and I think the mistake that the Democratic Party makes is that Hispanic, as they look at Hispanics as minority, like they do blacks, but they make both groups a monolithic group, right? But even how that ends up being a bigger miscalculation when you're referring to Hispanic people is because they don't see themselves all as necessarily Hispanic. We talked about this, Wayne. The white ones see themselves as white. What they identify with initially is their white skin in this or their European aspect of it. They don't necessarily identify with the Spanish-speaking aspect of it, I don't believe. That's the way it appears. And so that's why you have a lot of them, particularly Cubans, that are voting for Trump. I mean, you know, it is, and we know we talked about why, you know, they're so adamantly against socialism, as are a lot of people. But, you know, a lot of people know the history of Cuba, know that the haves were during that regime before Castro took place. You guys know the haves were the people were kind of exploiting thing and the people didn't have it. So fast forward all these years. But if you really understand what America is about, you wouldn't fall for the trap. Average Americans know, and maybe average Americans know, and maybe this is my assuming that everybody really has knowledge of politics, but America is never going to be a socialist society. These old school Republicans and all these other people that are claiming that Joe was a, even Democrats, you know, a lot of the, I mean, you know, that's within the structure of United States, and I dare say the white supremacist system too. They're not going to, socialism is equated with almost not only another country, but almost other racially, you know what I mean? That's why they're able to put those labels on some of the people that, that turn to it. So,
I'm going to say two things about this. Two things I got to put this out there. First and foremost, the boat people, the 25,000 that came over from Cuba, as I recall, they were supporters of a fascist Batista government.
Mm-hmm.
We allowed them to escape what they considered a socialist communist regime coming in, but they were fascists.
Yeah.
Whatever benefits
okay,
from fascist-like society is what you're saying?
Thank you. Absolutely. And the second thing, you know.
Kind of like the ruling class. They were more the ruling class and enjoying.
Yeah, they were the ruling class. They were the upper class. Who did not want to have their lands and their businesses confiscated and made as Marxism, socialism, would have it, would be to nationalize those industries. That's what they did when they came in. That's what, that's why they ran Batista out of Cuba, because he himself was a fascist.
But make it plain so the people don't really understand, you know, because, you know, this is where they get people say, you know, the socialists were against, you know, a lot of these people have small businesses and they're working and the socialists wouldn't allow them to do that. When they were coming in, Castro and them, the whole issue was because Batista allowed a monopoly, right? Corporations and certain companies, I would assume, allowed a monopoly because certainly people not wanting the government to take over their businesses and their land and their possessions is not a wrong feeling or a wrong, you know, issue to have. It's just in a new – you talk about in the society because Batista had allowed certain monopolies of things, right, making it hard for the average person.
Now, the second thing is, besides – we all saw The Godfather, so we know the story. That movie was made from factual fiction. It was fictionalized, but it was from facts. Okay? So that's why we have to. When I hear about the boat people and you know, I'm a little bit unnerved by the notion of the ignorance of how they got here to Florida on a visa that was waived by the State Department. 25,000
The boat people is related to Scarface, not The Godfather. Yeah, but go ahead.
Well, all right. Well, we also know that the mob, the Jewish mob and the Italian mob, wanted to turn Cuba into Caribbean Las Vegas. So I'm under no illusions about what this is all about. But here's the other thing that we better get ready and get to this critically as a Christian nation. Christ was a socialist. Okay? If you're going to be a follower of the Prince of Peace, who fed the hungry, clothed the naked, sheltered the homeless, healed the sick, and gave hope to the hopeless, he was the epitome of socialism.
Tell the evangelists.
I don't mind them. Because, I mean, at the point at which they practice socialism.
Yeah, these people in this country, the majority of these people, clearly by their actions, are not really practicing any real belief system based in spiritual or religious ideals. It's more of a ethnicity to them, I think, and then they tie the spiritual aspect to their ethnicity. And that's why the white Christians or evangelicals, there's always some label for their spiritual, their claim to spirituality, right, or some category, categorizing or put them as a certain, you know, we want to limit, we want to say this is particularly, yeah, we're Christians, but we're Christians with this perspective, you know.
And that's
where the racial aspect, I think, comes in. And I think the racial aspect, you know, is always going to be.
So be it, but I remember the biblical sermon, the lesson about the rich man wanting to give all of his money over to Christ. And he said, no, don't give it to me. Spread it to amongst the poor people, and you can come join me. And he walked away in shame. That's the story. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to break it down for you.
Yeah, but you know, it's, as you mentioned that, I find it, you know, and again, I don't know too many white Cubans to say that I could have some empirical evidence, but I do know Latin Americans, you know, as well as many Americans, are very much into their religion. You know, I mean, the whole concept of what this nation was founded on. So for some people to turn around and try to equate, you know, that whole spirit of what you just described as being something negative, I still don't get it. And I think it's, as Eric, as you pointed out, it's pretty much of a caste system. It's about,
yeah, well, Latin America is very much into the racial, has a racial hierarchy.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly. I mean, you know.
And it's not, I'm not saying all, but there are quite a few. I mean, I had an experience once, you know, some years ago, and I couldn't understand. There was a young sister I had befriended from the Dominican Republic. She came here at the age of 12, and she spoke English, but Spanish was her primary language. And, you know, I asked her out. I thought we had, at the time when I met her, I thought we had a lot in common, not to get too personal. But the bottom line is I was, like, so surprised when she turned around and said to me, well, you know, you're the first black man I've ever gone out with. And I said, well, wait a minute. You know, I'm looking at her, and I said, well, I see all the African in you. Why is there such a distinction with me? I meet your family. And, you know, it just baffles me the kind of programming, and this is not to knock all people from Hispaniola because their history, you know, we could spend an hour on that. I know, Byron, you know a lot more about what went on back in the day than even I recall from time to time. But, you know, that's the problem that really, again, race is a factor. You know, what Trujillo did to separate the Dominicans from the Haitians, so they would know there's a distinction. You know, it's those are the problems that we face. And
the Portuguese were some of the main slave traders.
Yep.
Yeah. So we could go on and on. You know, it's amazing.
I mean,
but it still comes down to
Brazil.
Race.
I mean. The slave trading that went on in Brazil, and now that was, there's a documentary that Sam Jackson was producing for Epix, and he was following his roots and following the slave trade, and he's got a, it's about a six part series, a documentary series. It's pretty interesting. But they were talking about some of the history of the slave trade and Africans stopping in Brazil. And they talked about this one square, which was at one time a slaves trading square. But the history was just really interesting and pretty devastating the world over on a lot of those sea routes and things like that that the ships would use to travel.
Right. But it's all about race, man. You know, we'd like to think that hopefully I'd like to think things will get better. I mean, we fought so hard in the 60s and to get past the issues that, you know, that a lot of us fought for back then, and many of us are now are in the twilight of our years, and, you know, we're looking at life and thinking that we accomplished something. And within 4 years' time, look what this guy has brought the nation back to. And again, when you look at the voting, you say to yourself, well, damn, have we made progress? You know, are we doing any better than what we did 50 years ago? This guy's got the nerve to be running around the planet talking about, I did more for black people since Abe Lincoln, you know, and he's talking about getting rid of entitlement programs and has nothing to say about the Civil Rights Act, you know, the Voting Rights Act and things like that. I mean, it's just, I'm just taken back.
I mean, to really me, more importantly, was how close, and we talked about this earlier, Byron, how close this country was all of these years to being willing to reverting back to the, like, almost 60s era behavior, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because really, this really reveals, like, wow, we were just, like, on the cusp of going right back there. There were all these motherfuckers was waiting. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I'm talking about the extremity of the behavior, you know, the riding around,
yeah.
the kind of now people want to really try to be intimidating. You know, you hear about the stories on the news, on the internet, you know, Trump supporters, you know, the whole shit driving around the Biden bus and other instances.
Right.
Or they really try to be, their whole presentation is always try to be intimidating the people, the other Americans. And that's the whole kind of, you know, the late 50s, early 60s era mentality.
Exactly.
You know? And to know that there were so many people, citizens of this country, that they're just waiting for it to flip, the opportunity to get it like that, boom. You know, remember you guys, it's like the militias, you know. I remember you guys were talking about the militias, and I remember my mom telling me about way back in the 80s when, you know, we got on LIB, you know.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of shows of Donahue talking about the militias they had when it was an issue.
Right, right. And look what they've, you know, morphed into after all this time. And, you know, I think it was the Southern Poverty Law Center that has documented that is America's worst problem, or I think members of the FBI have actually come out and said, you know, that, you know, America is facing its worst issue with, you know, internal, issues with regard to disruptions and the violence that prevails here. And who's to say what will happen between now and the 20th of January? You know, I mean, it's very frightening. And
this is what will happen once the certification. My brother-in-law, who worked as a Capitol Police, I did not know this until he shared this with me last night. This is how it goes down every election. The votes are certified. It has been certified. The then duly elected president is sworn in at the Capitol immediately. They all wait till the 20th of January. That's all pomp and circumstance. It actually happens the hour that the certifications are confirmed. The president is brought to the president-elect is brought to the Capitol and sworn in. And the reason why that happens is because constitutionally, if anything should go down between the certification to the day of the inauguration, our government has already engaged itself for protection.
Okay, well, that is great to hear. I've heard this before, or I've read this, but you're absolutely right. You know, I'd like to think that, you know, this is why Biden is so confident that homeboy can't steal the election.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. And see, this is where you have to really respect the Constitution and the rule of law. We have systems in place. We circumvented them. But if we go by the book, we are protected.
Right.
And we have to have faith in that because, like I said, the Democrats should not have to wait what the next move to do with this clown that's in office. If he stays in office, throw the book at him from impeachment, all the impeachable offenses that didn't get thrown at him. We can hold up Congress. We can hold up the Senate. It's not even a question, what do we have the power? Yes, we do.
Yeah, we still got a little blocking power right now, the Democrats in the Senate and the House. Democrats control the House. But
that's right, and they can control the purse strings of the Senate. So the Senate doesn't want to bring anything to the floor. Fine. don't. But you won't get any money to fulfill those executive orders, which is all bullshit. Because the minute Biden is certified, those executive orders are null and void. They're not legislation.
So this is the pressure that he is facing now. That's why his behavior is so erratic. You know, it's one thing to lose, and you can see it on his face, you know, but then again, every time I study Trump's facial countenance, you know, I see something else coming out of it. It's just amazing. So at this point, you know, I just hope that I hope they make a decision with Pennsylvania soon. I just happened to turn the boob tube on, and I see they're still, you know, they're still counting ballots, I guess, in certain areas. But I would like to think before this week is over, a decision would have been made, and that's that.
Yeah. It seems like maybe Arizona or maybe Nevada tonight. I thought maybe Arizona would be trying to come in, like, late tonight. But the Democrats, you know, they need to get a little bit more program together in terms of reaching out to these various, or like I've been talking about forever, just clapping back, responding back a little bit quicker. One of the talking heads today talk about they waited too long to respond to certain things. You know, the Trump campaign had been trying to. Go ahead.
You may remember the judge who they took the case away, the federal judge, the black judge here in D.C., where they took well, guess what? He's in play. He has ruled that the U.S. Postal Service system is being made to be in contempt of a federal court order to have the information relative to the missing or uncollected or sitting in a post office somewhere ballots that they were supposed to have delivered or resolved by 4:30 p.m. yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They did not have that order in compliance. So you're about to see some. I'm telling you what you see, because if you know you're not knowing this from the outside the DMV, as they say, this is what's going on inside the DMV. The federal judge has already ruled that. That's right.
Well, that's good to know. You know.
Why you can say it's in a DMV?
That's the District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia.
Okay. I see.
That's nation capital talk.
Okay. Yeah. DMV, I'm thinking, you know, get my driver's license.
Like motor vehicles department.
That's right. I see.
Yeah.
But there's machinations ongoing right now in the court system that everybody's lawyered up, as they say, but you got to know what has been rendered and what has been violated by rule of a federal judicial order to have had been resolved by 4:30 yesterday, and they didn't comply.
All right. Byron, you get the last word. We're up at the end of the show right now. And
all right. Well,
we just wanted to
listen,
keep it.
My people, my friends, you have the power. You must have faith in your power. You don't lose faith now that you get to the line. And remember this. This is the awakening, the time of the awakening. Truth that is crushed to earth shall and will rise again.
All right. There it is, my brother Byron. We'll talk to you again.
Sir.
All right. Brother Wayne, real quick.
Hey, all I'm going to say real quick, I back up what Byron said, man. God bless you all, and let's keep hope alive.
All right. I'm going to go out real quick, too. Brother Wayne, we'll talk to you later. This is K's Center Friends. I'm K's son, Eric, or else Citizen Payne. Those are the brothers, Wayne and Byron, and we'll talk to you again. We just wanted to keep an eye on, you know, the campaign as it's going on, you know, because we got to pay attention, to the election. Don't let this guy steal it. So we're going to keep watching. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.